Welcome to the Ignition Point Podcast.
This is where, from time to time, Jeremiah and I get to share what's on our hearts with all of you.
So thanks for logging in, and we hope you enjoy it. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Ignition Point Podcast. I'm Jeremiah.
I'm Courtney.
And this is episode 18, part 3 of our Dreamers series, which is the final part because it's a 3-part series. This one is called The Letting Go.
That's right. We've been spending the last few months doing this series called Dreamer. The first one back in April was The Leap. And we talked about those times where we just have to take those leaps of faith as we're pursuing the dream and the vision of God. Then in May, we talked about The Waiting. And we're all going to have to endure those periods of waiting as God is building character in us and preparing us as we pursue His vision and His promises toward us. And then this month, we want to talk about the letting go, which is the essential third piece. And I feel like these three podcasts as a whole paint this really great picture of all the different things that we have to walk through as we're pursuing the vision and the dream of God that we have in our heart. So
if you're new to the Ignition Point Podcast, you need to just go ahead and pause this episode,
right?
And back up and listen to the first two parts of this so that you can get the complete picture.
For sure.
But we also like to take a few minutes to let you guys know what we've been up to. If you listened to the last podcast, you know that 5 weeks ago, we just got back from Uganda. And for the last 5 weeks, we've, for the most part, been home.
Yeah.
Which has provided us a great opportunity for a halftime because, you know, this is June, the end of June, and we're halfway through 2017 already.
I can't believe that.
I made a joke the other day that said, how could it be 4:07 p.m. already when it was just 1994, 5 minutes ago? But it feels like the first half of this year just flew by. We were in Brazil 3 times, Uganda, Portugal, France, and a couple different cities in the United States as well. And if we don't take a moment to catch our breath and to reassess and make sure that our strategy is in place for the second half of the year, then we'd run out of gas.
For sure.
And if we didn't run out of gas, we'd be running on empty and possibly not end up the year where we need to end the year.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you kind of take this time to go, hold on, we got so busy, we forgot that really we want to be focused more in this direction or whatever it might be. So it gives you a chance to sort of change course if you need to a little bit or adjust things.
Yes. So we kind of encourage all of you as we're at the end of month 6, take a minute, see if you're where you want to be. You know, we all make these New Year's resolutions at the beginning of the year. And, you know, if you didn't fail at them at the end of January, maybe you're still holding on to them, or maybe things have morphed. Maybe you need to change priorities a little bit, but just take a moment to find out where you're at, you know, back up, get a good view of the first 6 months of your year so that the last 6 months of 2017 measure up to where you know you need to be.
Yeah.
So after the break, we'll come back with our What's Inspiring Us section. It's just so good to have all of you listening. So we'll be right back.
I don't care what it looks like. This love.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. So this is the section of the podcast where we talk about what's been inspiring us lately. And this month, what has been inspiring us is positivity, which sounds absolutely crazy because positivity shouldn't be inspiring. It should be normal.
Right.
It should be a part of normal life. But in the world that we live in, you know, anytime you see something positive, it's striking.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this is true when you watch ESPN and you're almost moved to tears because some famous rich athlete does something kind for an underprivileged young person. Or, you know, that scene where the father's been serving overseas and the baseball team invites the family to come throw out the first pitch in the game. And they're all out there on the mound and they throw the first pitch. And the guy that catches it is not actually part of the team because he rips his helmet off. And, oh, my gosh, it's the dad. And everybody in the stadium cries and everybody watching on TV cries because this positivity is not normal in our life anymore. I was watching Jimmy Kimmel, or a clip of Jimmy Kimmel Live, which is a late night show here in the U.S., and U2 was performing on the show. And they did an interview before the performance, and Bono, the lead singer, was talking about how much he loves America. And I just thought, I don't hear that very often on television. You don't hear very often somebody talking about how much they love America. And there was just so much positivity. And even a little bit of positivity sets it so far apart from everything else.
It's true.
Because this world, this climate that we live in on social media and the political climate, we have so many opportunities to be negative, to zing somebody, to start an argument, to voice our disagreements and really ruin relationships.
Yeah.
So positivity is now inspiring. So we have to find out what it is that we can do to contribute positivity to the world around us.
And that's one of the reasons why we have the beautiful community. I mean, it started as a chance to bring together women who had done my beautiful small group series and kind of create a hub for women. But actually what it's morphed into is simply this Facebook page, but it's a page where Jalan, my partner in crime, she and I post these videos that are just our attempt to encourage women, to inspire women, to bring positivity. And I think I'm reminded of a video we did a while ago, maybe almost a year ago at this point, and it was called Be Louder. And it's exactly what you're talking about, is this idea that what gets the most attention tends to be the bad stuff. It tends to be the negativity and the back, you know, the backbiting.
Yeah.
I can never get those little sayings right. He's always making fun of me.
But this was right during the time of the riots in Baltimore.
Yeah. And there was so much going on. And I just felt like I wanted to make this video because I know that there are so many of us that have a positive voice, that have a voice that brings hope and love and something good for the future. But so often it's not our voice that's recognized. So we have to be louder. We have to lift our voices higher and whatever it may be, rather than being dragged into all the muck, to kind of rise above that and bring a higher opinion, a higher voice, something to inspire people.
And it is difficult to cut through the noise. Like even social media these days is not built to advocate for positivity.
It's true.
You know, the negative advertisements, the negative posts, they get the most attention.
Yeah.
And the people who are trying, like we are, to put this positivity out there, you have to work really hard and spend a lot of money on ads to even be seen by your own audience. So that's where we need your help. So you can be our Facebook algorithm beating team. And to do that, all we need is for you to share the videos and the messages and the good stuff that's out there.
Podcast.
Yeah. Whether it be our stuff or any positive stuff that you see, you know, your sharing and your engagement with that positive material, it helps get positivity into the world that we live in. And I think we could all agree that if positivity is inspiring, then we need to set a new normal in our lives and in our countries.
You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 15, verse 13, that God is a God of hope.
Yeah.
And if we love him, then that makes us carriers of hope. So bring hope in the world that surrounds you today. And after we take this break, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about how you let go in the moments where God is changing seasons for you as you pursue the dreams and the plans of God.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
welcome back to part three of our Dreamer series. Just to recap, so that those of you who are maybe jumping in right on this podcast, first of all, you really should just stop and go back to listen to the first one in April. So at least you can understand, you know, the fullness of what we're doing with this Dreamer series. But part one in April with the leap, we were really just encouraging everyone that you got to do something, right? Yeah. Like the vision, the dream that God has put in your heart. So often those dreams are aborted or they never even happen because we don't start taking the baby steps. We don't start doing what's necessary to achieve those dreams.
Yeah.
And we don't realize that it's going to be hard. We're going to have to overcome things and face our fear and work hard, all of those things. Then in the second installment of this series, we talked about the waiting and that as you are pursuing the dream of God, the vision of God in your heart, there are going to be seasons, maybe more than once, where he has you in a time of waiting. We talked about how we use that time to build character, and it changes things in us as a preparation, you know, for what is to come. So today we're talking about the letting go. And so before we dive into the letting go, I want to say what I'm not talking about today. I'm not talking about giving up.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about yielding to resistance. Like we already set the precedent for in the first podcast, there will be resistance. You will have to overcome resistance. You will have to fight at times. You will have to feel like you're moving mountains at times, you know? The Lord makes it clear that we'll have those types of things come against us as we are pursuing the dream of God and the plan of God that's in our heart. However, what I am talking about is yielding to the leading of the Spirit. I was listening. I'm really into listening to messages on YouTube right now. It's like I've just discovered that YouTube exists, even though we use it for a lot of things.
Welcome to the planet.
Right? I don't know what happened. But anyhow, I've been listening to all these messages on YouTube, and I was listening to one by this woman from like the 1970s, and her name was Vicki Peterson, I think, or Jamerson or something like that. Vicki Peterson, I think. And she kept saying in this message she was given, she kept saying, I'm led, not driven. I'm led, not driven. And that kept, I wrote it in my journal. It kept resonating with me so much. That's what we're talking about today. We're talking about yielding to the leading of the Spirit of God and not just following your own drive. Because oftentimes the plans and the dreams of God that we're pursuing, they don't happen quite the way we think they're going to happen. They don't look how we think. They can even be seasonal.
Yeah, that seasonal concept is one that is so important to understand because we could get caught trying to extend what was only meant to be a season to fit our entire lives into it. You know, not realizing that God is writing a story with our lives.
Yeah.
And there's a chapter one and there's a chapter two and there's a chapter three. But a lot of times we are just caught extending that table of contents out to cover our entire lives.
It's like living in Florida, where you're stuck with summer all the time. Instead of just having summer for 3 months, you stretch summer to 12 months of the year.
Yes, it's awesome.
Can you tell it's really hot in Florida right now? I wish we had winter at some point. But it's the same thing, right? The idea is that for the beauty of spring or the snow of winter, one season has to end for another season to begin. And oftentimes, because we're so caught up with the pain of losing the season that we're in, we don't recognize that it's not just losing something. Something new is beginning. And I've been thinking about this a lot lately because I knew we were going to record this podcast to finish out this Dreamer series. And I was getting dressed the other day and getting ready to go. And I was thinking about this and I thought, man, but that's the only way. When Jesus says, I came to bring you life and abundant life, life to the full, like, in my opinion, the only way to fully live all that he has for us is to be willing to flow through the different seasons, recognizing that everything that's in our heart, we get to live it all at some point as we continue pursuing him. We just don't get to live it all at the exact same time. Like we have to let go of some things in order to embrace the new things. And I had to find this out in my own life. When y'all have heard me mention, probably if you followed the podcast for very long, that when I was young, I had an art school. When I was 19 years old, we started this art school, and it was a not-for-profit organization. It was really a ministry. We had the school that had all the classes in dance, drama, music, theater, the whole thing, visual arts. But also we had an outreach team. We had a scholarship program. We had a special needs program. We were taking teams overseas and just using the arts to share the love of Christ. And it was like a dream come true. And I will never forget. It started in October of like 2006.
When you were 19 years old, because of an idea that the Lord dropped in your heart while you were at a stoplight.
Right. So yeah. So backing up, we actually began in 1998, and I was just driving along the street, exactly what he just said, and this idea came to my mind, and we talked about this some in the first part of this series, like just the crazy leaps of faith we had to take at 19 years old to open. Actually, Jeremiah was the piano teacher.
And that's right. I married the boss.
And it was so like, it was like living this wild, crazy adventure, and the amazing things God did. And it was so beyond anything I was capable of at 19 years old. And it still makes me smile so much looking back on it. But then as the years passed and we grew and all these magnificent things were happening, we had hundreds of students every year, hundreds and hundreds. And then in around October of 2006, I started having these thoughts like, it's time to let go of the art school. It's time to let go of the art school. And I was like, get thee behind me, Satan. Like, shut up, devil. That is not the Lord, you know. I absolutely will not let go of this art school. And so I like to describe the next 4 months were like me wrestling with God. I can at times be stubborn.
No.
Yeah.
No. No.
Yeah. You've never seen this firsthand, have you?
No.
I can occasionally be stubborn, both with my husband and my God. And 4 months seems to be my wrestling period. It takes about 4 months for God to wrestle me down, to bend my will to his. And I couldn't believe that this would be what he was asking of me. And I'll never forget, it was February 13th, 2007. I woke up that morning and I just felt like something was off. I was like, something's off, like in my heart, in the spirit, like something's off, you know? And I told Jeremiah, I was like, I'm not going into the office. I got substitutes for my dance classes later that day. And I just was like, I have to pray. I have to seek the Lord. And so I went into our backyard and I was just pacing the yard, you know, like just praying and seeking God. And I could even tell you exactly where I was in the yard. And I was standing there. And all of a sudden, I just had this thought that it felt like it was God speaking to me. And it was, Courtney, when you were 18 years old, you said, not my will, but yours be done. Are you going to take that back now? Hmm. And I was like, oh, this is going to hurt, Jesus. This is my baby. Like, you know, because I was so young when we started, and it was all I knew of adult right. life, you know, like.
And you had dreams and aspirations of this becoming a multi-generational worldwide yeah. ministry with locations in different countries. And you are, you know, never short on dreams.
That's true. I'm never short on expanding the vision. And that he's exactly right. Like in my mind, I still had a good 25 years of dreams yet to achieve pertaining to this art school and to the kids who had been with us almost 10 years at this point, and who in their minds, they were growing up to work with us and to travel with us. And, you know, and all I could think was, I've got almost 300 some odd kids and families that I'm about to devastate, you know, like this isn't just me, Jesus. I have a staff of 22 people. Like, you can't possibly be asking me, like an Abraham and Isaac thing, like, you can't possibly be asking me to lay this on the altar, you know? But the Lord was right. Like, I had a radical conversion to Christ when I was 18 years old. And I did say, God, my life is yours forever, and your will be done through my life. And do I get to take that back just because I don't understand it? Just because it feels like the loss of my dream? Just because it's going to hurt to be obedient to him? And so Abraham was a real inspiration to me at that time, because you read that story of Abraham, Isaac, and I won't get into that whole message, but you know, it was his obedience when it was going to hurt him as far as he knew. But for me, you know, there wasn't a ram in the thicket. I knew that my Isaac was going to die on that altar and I was going to have to truly let go of it and walk away from it. And so it was funny because that was February. And then in March, we were taking a team of our teenagers to Scotland and we were going to be performing in these like regular public high schools in Scotland. They were giving us their drama classes, their music classes. We were doing arts assemblies. We were doing lunchtime performances. We basically took over this high school for a week. It was insane.
It was great.
Amazing. And then we would invite them all to come to our nighttime events off campus where we could, in the high school, we could share what we believed in the gospel. But in those nighttime events, we could be very, very open and straightforward. And yeah. It was so cool, the stuff we saw happen that week. But anyhow, I can remember standing and the team was performing and they were kicking butt. I mean, it was like my dream come true. Because, you know, when we started, our dancers weren't that great. We had to train them. We had to build them. But now almost 10 years later, the music was great. The dancers were phenomenal. But in between, they're getting up. They're sharing their testimonies with other teenagers their age. You know, they're preaching about what they've seen God do in their lives. And I had to while I was standing side stage and I had to like walk away because I started crying. And Jeremiah came and found me in this like back hallway because I didn't want the kids to see me crying because they didn't know yet that we were going to close the center. And he was like, "What? You know, are you okay?" And I was like, "How is he taking this from me? Like, this is my dream. And I'm finally seeing it come into its fullness of what I originally had in my heart. And he's making me let go of it." And I'll never forget, you just stood with me in that hallway and you looked at me and you're like, "But you got to see it, Court." Like, yeah. How many people, it's just an idea. And then 10 years later, they have nothing to show for it. Whereas for you, it was an idea. And then 10 years later, you are seeing the fullness of what was just a thought. And you're seeing how hundreds of lives have now, thousands, when you count the people around the world that we minister to, have been impacted off of what was just a thought that some little 19-year-old girl had. And that really comforted me in that moment.
And meanwhile, God's saying, "This is chapter one."
Right.
It's just chapter one. The story gets better.
Yeah. And then later that night, remember, we went back to the place where we were staying, this organization that was there, and the kids had come for the service that night, and there was this old Scottish dude there. He had to be in his 70s or maybe his 80s.
He gets older every time you tell the story.
He does.
I think he was like 45.
Right? No, I swear, he was much older than that. He even had a cane. I think he had a cane.
He was holding that for the older person.
So he stops me. If I could do a Scottish accent, I would really do this justice. But he stops me, and I think he might have called me lass or something like that. I might be making that up, but I think he did. And he stopped me, and he looks at me, and he goes, "God is getting ready to put you in the fire. But when you come out, you're going to be like pure gold." And I just kind of stared at him. You know, most people, they give you this awesome prophetic word and you're like, "Yeah, thank you." And I'm thinking, "Oh man, this is going to stink." You know, like, I know what the fire, I've read the scriptures on what the fire of God does in us, you know, but he was absolutely right. And sure enough, after we let go, we came back in June, exactly 10 years ago, June of 2007, exactly 10 years ago, we closed the art school. It was the hardest thing that up until that point in my life, I had ever had to do. The number of tears cried by students and their families, because to them, this was like their second home, you know, and my staff and I, and there was a word that someone else gave us that our students and our staff and all the that we had done and planted in those 10 years was going to be like a daffodil.
Yeah.
And that God was going to blow on it. And those seeds were going to go around the world in different ways. And some of it I've seen and some of it I haven't yet. But I know that in every one of those students, the seeds that were planted, that they are there to bring fruit in their lives and around the world and here in the U.S. in different ways. And one of the things that I can see now in retrospect in 10 years that I couldn't see then was that God had something more.
Yeah.
That God, not only, I'll be honest, because I'm all about being completely real. I went into a really dark time after I closed Shoshana for about 15, Shoshana was the name of the art school, for about 15 months.
We're still in that time.
We're still in the darkness. No, for about 15 months after that, I was swirling. I had my identity completely wrapped up in what I did.
Yeah, back and, during that time.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be awkward to hear Courtney say, "I don't like being a mom."
Yeah.
It wouldn't be it wouldn't be out of the question to feel her understanding that she didn't like to be a wife.
Right.
She liked to run after the vision that God had put in front of her.
Yeah. Yeah, which was the problem, right? Like, I couldn't see all of that at the time. But as he took all of that away from me, I saw the gaping voids in myself. I saw my pride. I saw how much I loved to be able to say what I did and all that had been accomplished in those 10 years. And God had to break all of that in me because he loves me. And he knew that for the next season of my life, I couldn't have all of that inside of me. And I had to embrace motherhood. I had to embrace what it meant to be a wife, because Jeremiah and I got married after I was already running with the vision of Shoshana. So it was just a new season. And as even in that hard time, as I bowed low to him and I allowed him to do what he wanted to do in me, understanding that he had not forsaken me, but that it was a time of preparation. It was a time of him enabling me and re-identifying me and changing me so that I was ready for what was to come next. But the only way I would have been able to walk through that season, looking back on it, the only way I was able to do that is because I did know him. Like, I really did have that radical conversion when I was 18 years old. And I am crazy in love with Jesus and pursue him daily as much as I can. All of us need to grow in that, right? But I seek him. And even in that darkness, I was seeking him. And I knew that he was good. And I held on to that. You are good. You are not just taking everything away from me to leave me empty, but you're showing me, one, what I already have in my family and in my children. And we had Elijah, our second son, during that time. Mm-hmm. But you're also preparing me for the next season and for what is to come in that season.
That's right. Building. It was a building. You know, he moved you from that art center season into a building season.
Right.
A re-identification. And you never want to shortcut that process. Right. You have to have this process be complete, because if you shortcut it, I mean, we see in our culture so many examples of young people who achieve the heights of fame, that, you know, every dream that they've ever had in their young minds, they see it all. It's all laid out before them. They get it easily, but then there's collateral damage, right? They never make it. You hear, you know, the child star, you know, that story never ends well, because the process was never allowed to be completed in their life. And then you hear, you know, glimmers of hope, you know, so-and-so is being pastored by so-and-so, and that's all great, and that's all the mercy and grace of God. Yeah. But imagine if they had had the process built in them from the start, to where when God launched them, they were prepared, they were built to handle the pressures that come, the things that try to rip them apart, so that they could actually make it to where the Lord had, you know, as their destination.
We have to trust him, right? We have to trust that he's good. We have to trust that he loves us, so that all the fear that comes against us, that we're not going to see the fruition of our dreams and we're not going to be able to achieve these things in that journey along the way, or as we're changing from one season to the next and we don't know what that next season looks like yet. Right. So it just seems like we've lost everything. We have to be able to trust in his love and who we know him to be.
Trust the process. To the Abraham story. Man. Could you imagine the questions that he had for the Lord as he's loading up that wood, as he's loading up his son, as they're traveling for days to get to the point where the Lord had instructed him to lay his son on the altar, on the wood, to light that wood and give up the supposed dream.
Right,
you know?
Right.
But like Courtney was saying, he knew God. He knew the qualities of God. He knew the attributes of God, that God was for him and not against him, that God was trustworthy, that his ways were higher than our ways. And all of that enables a person to be able to surrender to a God that they know loves them.
If you're listening to this podcast and God is changing your seasons, surrender the season you're in so that you can embrace the new one. You know, we like to quote this scripture in Romans chapter 12, saying, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what is God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." And some translations say his good, acceptable, and perfect will. Yeah. And I think that that is the key. I love this passage in Romans. If you back up into chapter 11, it's what in some Bibles they call the doxology, where Paul begins to go on about the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments, who has the mind of the Lord, from him and through him and in him are all things, like just extolling this magnificent, omniscient, omnipotent God, right? But then he comes into that and saying, but yet we can know his mind, right, in chapter 12, you know? And I'm not going to preach this whole message. I love to preach this message on how we have the mind of Christ. You can go read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 about how because of the Spirit of God, we can know the mind and the heart of God because the Christ in us, the hope of glory. But as it pertains to this topic and these changings of seasons, you know, what was the perfect will of God for your life at one point? If you try to force that season, like what Jeremiah was saying, it's no longer the perfect will of God for you. And it may be in your natural mindset. That's why we have to transform our minds. We have to allow our minds to be conformed to his mind. Yeah. And we have to say, no, not my will, but his will. And if we do that, if we allow ourselves to be led by the wisdom of the Spirit, which almost never lines up perfectly with what the world will say is the right thing to do, right, or the right time to do it in. It was not the right time for me to let go of that art school. We were at a climax. We were at a crescendo. Everything was wonderful. Sure, we were always going to have things we had to overcome. But as far as the dream and artistically and the ministry, it was amazing. But the wisdom of God was, there is a daffodil that needs to be blown, and I need to be able to release those seeds into the world while also I'm preparing you and changing you for the next season. And so as believers, if we've given our life fully and completely to God, then we say, like it says in the verse before that, that we are living sacrifices, that our life given wholly and completely to God is a pleasing aroma to him. It is our worship to him. And so as we are completing this Dreamer series, recognize your life is not your own as a believer. And when he says leap, when it doesn't seem like it makes sense to leap, start taking action. Believe for impossible things. Do what it seems like you could never achieve on your own. And when he says wait in the middle of the dream, while you're still kind of walking that dream out, be willing to wait. Don't try to force things to happen, but allow him to build character in you and prepare you. And then if the time comes, and when the time comes, because we know that there are seasons in life where you have to surrender one season in order to embrace the next. Trust that he is who he says he is. Yeah. Trust that he is good and that he is for you, and allow your life to be conformed completely to his will. And then you will be able to see the fullness of God, the goodness of God in the land of the living as you embrace one season at a time. Thanks so much for listening. And be sure to keep an eye out for our next podcast.
And stay in touch with us at our website, theignitionpoint.org, or on Twitter, or on Facebook, or on Instagram. See you next time.